Roll up, ladies and gentlemen, to the greatest podcast on Earth! Step right up and experience the magnificence that is the Two Ring Circus Podcast! You'll gasp, you'll laugh, and you'll be amazed at what comes next.
Amazing.
Don't worry about the smell. It's just the stars of our show, Tom Italiano.
Hello.
And Matt Bradshaw.
Hey.
Welcome.
Welcome, Matthew Bradshaw.
Hello, Tom Italiano.
To the Lara Library, which I can say now without any troubles.
Have you been practicing?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I was doing my It Rains in Spain, Mainly in the Plains, in the mirror, with marbles in my mouth.
Eh?
Yeah, not marbles.
No one's got a mouth that big.
I guess, but I have been practicing.
Did you start again? What happened?
We've had such a good day.
Oh, wait. I was getting to it.
Ah. What's going on? Such a professional. What's going
on? Well, I'm a professional.
You are a professional unit. We were nostalgic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go on.
And we, so for those of you who are not aware of our history, which is probably everyone, you're not aware of all of our history. Part of our history.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, go.
Oh, well, I was going to say, the practice episode of this podcast, the inaugural episode.
The one that never got released.
The unreleased episode was all about our history, about which Dom is about to talk. Wow, there's a lot of the words of about in that. Oh, what happened? Should we start again?
Go back
to my balls.
I'm glad we're not Canadian. Because that would be a boot.
Yeah.
That's weird. Midwestern. They do the same thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
It's a crazy country.
America.
And Canada. Yeah. Well, they're two countries, aren't they?
Yeah.
I remember there's a funny interview, I guess, Russell Brand on the Craig Ferguson show. And they're like, Canada and America, and then they start talking about the fact that, you know, they're from the UK. Craig was like, I'm from Scotland. And Russell Brand's like, that's our Canada. And then they go, they start talking about, it's like, oh, it's not like that in England. That's Canada's America. It's very funny. It's much funnier than I just presented it.
No, it's pretty funny.
Yeah. Anyway, we used to be in a band.
We did.
We used to be in lots of bands together. Well, at least two. And now we're not in any, but we might be in this one again.
Yeah.
For one night only. Mm. Maybe at the end of the year, early January, when Matthew Robinson is back in town.
Mm.
When the boy is back in town.
So let's give a brief history. Yep.
I don't do anything brief.
No, yeah, so I'm you should try. Do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have we ever talked on here about how you and I met?
I don't know, but let's tell them anyway. I'd like to hear it.
I mean, it's been at least a year, hasn't it? Probably. No, probably not. I mean, if we have, then it wouldn't have been at least a year because we're only in the 56th episode. Unless we've done it in the first 3 weeks of this podcast and we didn't, then it's not at least a year since you've heard this story. It's not going to be brief. Sorry. So, the very brief version of the story is Dom and I were playing in two separate cover bands.
Yes.
And we were introduced or we met?
No, I used to come and see you play in your band and stand on the side of the stage and admire you from afar. And then, it sounds like the name of a Disney film. I admired from afar. With music by...
yes, when I was in a band with Matt Hetherington.
Yeah.
Was that that?
So, yeah, that was when we used to come and admire you from afar.
Mm.
And then you were in a different band,
yes.
Ramjet. That's when we met. And I came up to meet you and say, I've seen you play before. You're great. And you said, you're going to be my best friend.
See, isn't that funny? I don't remember it like that at all.
Well, it didn't actually happen like that. That's me romanticising it.
Now, okay, so that's not how it happened?
Well, that's how it happened for me.
Okay, so...
That's how we fell in love.
Okay, so for me, I met you at one of your gigs. This is literally how I remember it. I met you backstage at a Passion Fruit Pulp gig. Yeah, with you sitting down in the corner while everyone else was running around fucking drunk and with their balls hanging out of their pants saying, "Have you seen my balls?" Which is actually still, I think, a really funny gag. You'd be good at that with the... And Dom, who didn't partake in any of that foolishness, was sitting in the corner reading a book.
Oh, I wasn't practicing mandolin at that point. Was no, I was actually reading an actual book.
You were quietly reading a book. And
apologise. Why is that making noises?
Isn't it annoying when things don't work the way they're supposed to?
Story of my life.
And so we got talking, and in that conversation, Dom gave me a copy of his Dom Italiano and the Rubber Band 241 Dead End Street Road. 241 Dead End.
Yeah, 241 Dead End.
Right. And I was due to drive back to Adelaide to see my family in the very near future after Dom gave me that CD. And I listened to it in the car, and there was a phone number, a mobile number on the back of the CD sleeve. And I rang that number and left a message saying, "Dude, I've just heard your original songs. They're just mind-bogglingly good. You are amazing. I don't know what it's going to be, but you and I have to do something together." So that's how I remember us meeting.
Yeah. That is, that we did meet at the Grand, and that is what happened.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. I just kind of paraphrase it down to, and then we became best friends. Because it was very quick, very soon after that, that I came to your house with my guitar, and we recorded a demo. We did like 5 acoustic songs, including the Crowded House song, Not Weather With You.
It's Only Natural.
It's Only Natural. We did that in your bedroom when you were living in, with JB and Amanda in Ormond.
Far out.
That was super, like within a week of you getting back from Adelaide.
Huh.
Yeah.
Because you never got that message from me though, because you had a different mobile number.
Yes.
Huh.
Yes, true.
Fuck.
So
not good.
At the time.
And how many years ago was that?
That was 2001. Yep.
Far out.
That was end of 2000, start of 2001. So we did start talking about the meeting we had today. So what happened is I was doing this original band with Matt Robinson. So he had moved to Melbourne from Whopper, and my friend Ezekiel Ox, who was also your friend, but initially at the time you didn't know him, I knew him. And he said, "Dom, this is Matt Robinson. Matt needs you to play guitar and sing with him," pretty much, because he was doing his original stuff. So whatever the band was going to be called was going to be Matt Robinson. And we were all going to be his support band,
huh?
Whoever it was. And then what happened is I started writing songs and going, "Well, what about this?" And he's like, "Yeah, we can do that too." And so we got Steve as the bass player.
Fagona.
Yep.
Of Verita Coffee.
Yeah, that's what he does.
We've interviewed him on the podcast.
And we were going to get Pete, my high school band drummer, to be the drummer. And so he came along for a jam. He's like, "Yeah, I'm into it." And then he and Kelly decided to move back to Geelong from, they were living in Melbourne. And he said, right about the same time, he said, "So it's not going to work. I'm not going to be able to come up and do that." And so we asked Richie. So that was what the band was. But that was only within maybe...
Jarvis. Richie Jarvis.
Maybe 2 or 3 months before I kind of hooked up with you, became friends with you. And I said... "So we're doing this thing, and it's kind of the start of a thing. It's changing. Do you want to come and have a jam too?" And the first jam we did was in your lounge room with Jamie and Amanda's house, and you'd written "Miss You More."
Oh yeah.
To kind of, as your kind of like, what do you think?
Yeah, my audition piece.
So this band became Inside Zero, and we spent about 2.5, maybe 3 years, doing this original band, which had an EP and a single, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And then life happened and the band stopped happening. Although the four of us without the keyboard player Matthew Robinson continued in Matt Bradshaw's G-Force as a cover band for many, many years.
Did we play in Ramjet together? Or was it G-Force
that was... I played in Ramjet with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Richie replaced Paul Hogan at some point, didn't he? In that band?
No.
No?
The band just stopped.
Did it?
Yeah. Yeah. So me joining Ramjet came after we started the original project, but only a couple of months. Really early. It was really like a lot of things happened really quickly. So it was only a couple of months. So basically
I hadn't been in Melbourne very long by this stage.
Yeah, right. I didn't know that.
So that was...
Oh, yeah. It was
easy for stuff to happen really quickly then, because I didn't have very many other demands on me.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing very much. I didn't play in Melbourne. After I moved to Melbourne, having been overseas for better part of 3 years, so I did all the overseas gigs and then got back to Adelaide and thought, there's nothing happening here now that I am a professional musician. Because I wasn't when I left.
When you left, yeah.
And then I learned how to be while I was away. So then I came to Melbourne. So I lived on my savings for probably the first 5 or 6 months. The day of my very first gig, which was a duo thing with a girl named Murray.
I know.
My car got written off, parked out the front of my house the day of the first gig. Hilarious.
That sucks.
And what was it? I can't remember what the gig was that we were doing. I think it was Rembrandt's, which was an over 28s club. It was this weird sequency, like backing track duo thing.
I came to see it once.
Yeah. Which was me miming a lot of guitar parts because they were all on mini disc already. It's weird. I mean, like, great, and she was fantastic to kind of give me a go when I was a fucking no one.
No.
Well, everyone's a no one until they're someone. It sounds like one of your lyrics.
Pixar? Sounds like a Disney Pixar song.
Same, same.
Yeah.
My car got written off that day and a friend drove me to the gig. She just had a birthday. She's got kids now.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
Actually is amazing, but we don't need to get into that.
No. you mean biology?
Fucking kids. Yeah, yeah. Being okay. Having kids. It's amazing. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I sidetrack us then?
Yeah, but that's what we do.
Can we get back to what it was?
So, today was the first day the five of us who were in the band Inside Zero had all been in the same place at the same time since my 30th birthday, which is 10 and a half, almost 11 years ago. And... I did not mean to hijack the conversation by saying, so when's the reunion gig happening? But once I said it, the four of us went, yeah, and Robert went, really?
It felt so much like an intervention.
Have you been talking about this? It's like, no, but, you know, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I tried to make it obvious to him that at the same time as we were having this conversation, like Matt, myself, Dom, Steve, Richie, all sitting at a cafe in Balaclava today. And Richie said, I'm in. So I felt Matt had a look on his face like he'd kind of been hijacked a bit. It's like, oh, is this what we're doing here today?
He really did. I feel terrible. You know what I'm like as well. I'm just like, all right, well, let's go with it. All right, you call the place, you do this. But... probably going to happen.
I'd be disappointed at this stage if it didn't.
I would do my best not to disappoint you.
Thanks, man. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, pretty exciting.
By the way, if you know me, I do try my best not to disappoint you, despite what the results might be.
Oh.
You know, there are people who are disappointed by me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, there
because
are.
That's just the nature of the world. But
yeah,
geez, there'd be few in number, dude.
No, but there's that thing that happens.
Few in number. Move on.
It's just that thing that happens that, you know, when someone has a hope or an expectation and someone doesn't meet it. You know, and I think I probably...
Yeah, but that's not your fault. That's their fault.
I do think that they have to take their share of responsibility for that disappointment.
Very quickly, unrelated but related, with the fact that so often...
Dom disappoints people.
No, related to what we were talking about earlier, in the sense of me saying, huh, is that how it happened? Ah, yeah. Is that what... I didn't know that. I was reasonably recently.
You're reasonable often.
Well, the point of this is that apparently I'm not. I was accused in some very negative way by someone who used to be a friend of mine of revisionist history in my 5,000-word fucking website manifesto. So I have a short version of my bio, which is the little kind of handwritey one that's on the front page of my website.
Right.
And then I have like a whole backstory, like an actual, like as if I was going to write an autobiography. Like I was born here and it was, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I talk about my experience overseas and how I happened to end up in Melbourne. And yes.
So someone's gone to your website, read it, and then got in contact with you and say, you're full of shit, Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But did they do it in a way that was convincing and you went, oh, well, maybe that is not what happened?
Well, I suppose the most ironic part for me is that we all know, anyone who knows me knows that my memory is shocking. And it's not about, it's not about revisionist history. Like all of us, there's your truth and my truth and then the actual one. And yes, there are objective facts in all that stuff, but you can still only remember stuff the way you remember it. So I went back and read my thing. And it's still the way I remember it. And it's not, I think, the part that flummoxed me the most. If someone accuses you of, like, deliberately obfuscating the facts, there's an implicit thing there that you're doing it to benefit yourself or to diminish their involvement or but I read, and it doesn't, so even if I've got it wrong, like the timeline or the machinations of how it all kind of went together, it doesn't in any way slight this person. I was totally flummoxed by.
Well, I look forward to reading this thing and then hearing how you've revisionized it. Is that a word?
The point being, I have got a terrible memory. I'm always fully prepared to say, really? Is that how it happened? Yeah, okay, yeah, fair enough. And you're probably right.
Can I ask you how you feel about this, about your memory?
Mm.
People say, we all have an idea about how we do things. Like I was talking to someone the other day who was saying that, you know, she at her work, her boss is always telling her, like, how valuable she is and kind of doing what he can to kind of let, you know, work with her around her life so that she can do the things she needs to do. And she's like, oh, I feel a bit guilty about that because, you know, I want to do a good job and I want to be there, you know, be there for my boss. And, you know, my response to that was, well, he's clearly values what you do. So that must mean that you're good at it and that you are doing the thing that you are wanting to do, right? And so I understand that you're hard on yourself. That makes sense, and that you have high expectations of yourself and what you want to deliver to your job. But it sounds like you are doing that. And she's like, yeah, but I still kind of hard on myself. So what I mean with that example, you say that you've got a bad memory. Do you think that your memory is as bad as you think it is? Or are you perpetuating the bad memory by going, I've got a bad memory, and therefore...
No, I think I've got a bad memory.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm okay with it. Like, I've got one really good friend of mine who has suffered a pretty traumatic, a brain injury at work. Yeah. And she can't remember stuff. And I try to mitigate her bad feelings about that by saying, don't worry about it. I haven't had a massive blow to the head. I just can't remember anything. It actually doesn't matter. Don't sweat it. It's really not a big deal. Because there are always people around who will help you remember, even if, like my friend Brian in Adelaide, who I sincerely believe, fuck it, just makes shit up about what I've done. But it's always pretty funny, so I don't care.
You're happy to take things that people tell you you've done in your life if they're good. Like, oh, all right, I don't remember that, but... my brother does that. He's like, remember we did this? No. I don't remember that at all. We did this. Okay.
Because I've finally come to a place in my life where I actually genuinely believe that I'm not a bad dude, even when people make stuff up about me, if indeed they are making stuff up like I think Brian does. he never makes up anything bad, so it's actually okay.
It's great when people make up good shit about you.
Well, look, it doesn't necessarily... I mean, whatever he says doesn't actually necessarily paint me in a great light. It's not, you know, you did this amazing... Remember when you saved that child from the freeway accident? It's like, no? Oh, you were amazing that day. It's not like it's stuff like that, but it's just stuff. Remember when you put your dick and balls in a beer glass in a pub in a...
Yeah, but that happened.
So you could win a slap? No, I don't. Well, you did. Where's the slab? Still haven't given it to you. Pot. You're a fuck.
Pot or pint?
It was a pint. Oh. Come on, dude.
Let's check it. I mean, I thought you'd at least meet us halfway and say schooner.
It was Adelaide. They didn't do schooners.
Jar glass. Very good. So I thought I had a good memory. And back to Inside Zero, the band, until we were at Steve's 2 weeks ago, and Steve put this Inside Zero live at whatever place we were doing it on. And Steve says, oh, I love this song. And I was like, I didn't know what this song is. And he's like, and he says, what? I said, I've never heard this song in my life. And then I start singing it. And I still don't remember it at all. Not even by the end.
What song was it?
I don't remember. I'm singing lead vocal in a song.
Well, can you remember any of the lines of the song?
No, but it's probably clumsy. You know, my lyrics back then were pretty clumsy.
Come on, dickhead.
I definitely tried to... you know, fit round lyrics in square lyric holes.
I was going to ask today about coming over when Matt was still there. Was there a time when we were worried about the pronunciation of the word different?
I don't know.
Oh, really?
Different.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like where it, like every syllable is very clearly sounded out because it had to fit in that.
Yeah.
Have to be different. But I have this idea that I felt like it was Matt that had an issue with it.
Even though he wrote it?
Even though he wrote it. Ah. Or maybe it was you then. Maybe that's why it didn't change.
Yeah. No, I think I learned pretty quick that I was the one who was clumsily ramming syllables and words in and just going, I don't know how to fix that. What if we just sing it in three-part harmony and it sounds great and people are just... Why don't we do four-part harmony? Sound even better, and then no one will worry about what I've written.
The song I wrote as the audition piece for that band, which was then called Cody, with a K.
Yeah, I think so.
K-O-D-I.
Yeah, I'm glad we changed it.
Yeah, me too. I wrote ostensibly for the bass player in the cover band I was in at the time, in Ramjet, whose son... died of sudden infant death syndrome. And the first gig that the four of us, without Matt, obviously, because he was in New York, played together in many, many years, was that Sid's benefit that we played a couple of weeks ago. 3 weeks ago. Mm. Yeah, how's that?
That's pretty fun.
Yeah, isn't it?
There's a lot going on that night. It was pretty fun.
Mm. Oh, you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm great.
Okay, that's good, man.
Awesome.
Yeah, cool.
Hey, people who might be watching or listening.
Ah, I touched it, I'm sorry. You'll have to mute that bit. Sorry, dude. I was trying to fit that on the end of my nose.
Oh, you meant the microphone.
But it wouldn't suction on. All right, forget it.
But okay. We're going to do a How to Host a Murder Night.
Yeah, we are.
I guess Touring Circus will organise it.
Yes.
And we'll let people know, and you'll be able to come.
Yeah.
So maybe, well, I don't know. Maybe we can make it a fundraiser night for something. Yeah. We'll work it out, and we'll let you know.
Yeah.
It's all about organising stuff today. Oh, band reunions.
Everything is all about organising stuff, dude.
You are 100% correct.
I'm going to organise myself a beer if you just want to chat to the
Yeah, I can do that. What shall I chat to people about?
Chat about the murder, how to
host. Oh, yeah, cool. So,
chat about our friend.
Charlotte. Shall I speak into my microphones at once?
No,
will I sound
do that.
Better?
No, don't do it.
Can I get a beer?
What do you mean, Roger
Daltrey? Our friend Charlotte organises and designs these nights. They're kind of how to host a murder things, and apparently somebody becomes the murderer and the murdered, and then there are like activities, like theatre sporty type things that you do over the 2.5 to 3 hour period. And, you know, Matt and I don't, we're not very busy. We don't have much to do other than be indulgent socially in such things. So we thought this would be a cool thing to do. And we thought initially it'd be just like, what if we get Charlotte and her husband to hang out with Matt and I and just have like, they host us and I host a murder, and then clearly one of us is the murderer and one of us is the murdered, and the night would be over really quick.
I'm not sure if I've met Doug, Charlotte's husband.
I haven't, no. Well, I haven't seen Charlotte for ages.
Charlotte's a lovely girl, really talented. I saw her do a production of The Wind in the Willows in the Botanic Gardens years and years ago. So funny and clever and quirky and, yeah.
Yeah, she's good people.
Yeah.
She's
so
one
I imagine
of those,
her husband is too, because yeah, that's the way it works, isn't
it? Does
it?
Usually.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like in my 20s, there were a lot of good people with shit partners.
And yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know, earlier in my life, so something happened, and hopefully I wasn't one of those for someone. But then those people kind of worked that out and then moved on, and then good people really did get to find good people. And often the shit partners sorted their shit out.
And then became good partners.
Yeah, and then... you would meet them years later and be like, oh, good, that person kind of got the...
Often of course, I'm single, so I don't know what that means, but I suspect
me,
it means
mate.
Something.
Thanks. I mean, I have been your date for 3 months. It's been really fun.
We have done a lot of stuff together,
really
haven't we?
Have. It's been hilarious. Hey, what are you doing Monday night? I don't know. What are we doing, darling?
We did basically double date the other night.
With Stephen
Amy.
Yeah, we absolutely did. It's a lovely dinner.
We should have taken
Thank
a
you.
Photo. Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. We should have taken a photo that night. Because what I've learned about the whole Facebook thing is not so much...
You don't take a selfie, it didn't happen?
No, but that's the thing. Not so much that and presenting to the world, oh, look at all these lovely things I'm doing. But it's actually the 12 months later when it's like, oh, look at that thing we did. Like that's fucking great.
Today, 2 years later, I started riding my bike through Europe.
Exactly that. My legs hurt just looking at those pictures. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Dom's comment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. So which is cool, because for the next 21 days, I'm going to have a reminder that I can share that and go, look where I was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't done anything with my life since.
I spoke with our friend Paul today in Greece. He'd just landed.
Oh, good.
It was 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Greece is the word. Is the word. Yeah. Sorry.
I couldn't get there because all I could hear was Nana Mouskouri. She was Greek.
I know.
Yeah. Well, that's. I thought you were making a real Greece reference, not a Greece
so
reference.
So you could hear that, but then you went, well, I can't actually hear that because that's not a Nana Mouskouri song that I know. Okay. I don't know any Nana Mouskouri songs.
Neither do I, except that she had the glasses. Yeah. John Foreman tells a lovely story. He was orchestrating a gig for her years and years ago when she was touring, and she started a song, got it wrong, stopped singing, put her hand up and said, I'm sorry, I make a mistake. Started the song again.
Oh, she sounds lovely.
She was lovely. Is lovely. I don't know.
That sounds lovely.
It's pretty cute.
I would love to have seen that.
Yeah, but you imagine, like, I mean, she was somewhere like Hamer Hall or something. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, I make a mistake. Like a great grandmother.
What a legend.
Love it. Anyway. What else?
Stuff. Stuff's are happening. Are we going to do a Facebook Live after this?
Yes.
Or before this? Depend on when you hear it.
Don't.
I love doing
Dude, don't. It's Thursday.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Now it's Thursday. Yeah.
So have you realised that the what happens in the progression of us doing these podcasts and then them getting posted is they go up more or less at midnight on a Wednesday night. So they're there for everyone to wake up to. So I will, because the process recently has been, has been me uploading it at my place, but that actually hasn't happened very often because you've managed to, you did it with your phone last time.
So I'll explain to you folks who are unaware. So obviously what we do is we film and do audio. So we upload the audio only to the podcasty site, and then we also upload the video for people who like to watch us to the YouTube. And the thing is,
I heartily endorse watching it. I know there's a lot of people who, because I only listen to podcasts, and a lot of podcasts that have video as well, they're often these ones that are Skype-y things, and it's two or three people on the screen together, and it's glitchy and terrible. And
but
Dom has spent a lot of time and effort and money in trying to make this look good, as well as sound good.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, notwithstanding the subject material.
Time is the thing, though, because when we refer to time with putting the video up, because I live in...
the Lara Library.
The Lara Library, I have ADSL2 internet. Now, downloading stuff with ADSL2 is not too bad, but uploading it takes a long time. Mm. So...
Hours.
A video file of a one-hour podcast takes 10 to 14 hours to upload, whereas if I give it to Matt, it takes 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
20 minutes. Last week, I uploaded it via my phone, and it took just over an hour.
Yeah.
So...
yeah.
But now I have 170 gig a month on my phone plan.
Far out. So...
I'll still give it to you to upload tonight.
So when you see the link on the Touring Circus Facebook page... Every Thursday is Touring Circus Podcast Day, and it says listen. That's the audio that Dom's put up, and that's on a site called Podbean. And then watch is the YouTube link, and then that doesn't actually go up. That goes up straight away, but the iTunes link doesn't, because it takes a little while for iTunes and Podbean to talk to one another. Which is why, if you happen to look at it like 8:30 in the morning, when the post comes up, there will only be a listen and a watch. And the iTunes link doesn't come until later, because it doesn't come until I wake up.
Oh.
And then go and find the iTunes link and copy it and edit the post. Right.
I love that for most of that explanation, you were reading it off a screen down here somewhere. When you were working out what to say, you were looking down, you were looking at, and this is what it happens. It's really, that's cool. I notice that a lot these days when I feel like I have quite connected and engaged conversations with people on a regular basis, and it does require people to consider the thing they're talking about, like, and work out, say, the process of the thing that they're talking about. And it usually means that they're looking somewhere to remember or to work out, or it's like, where was it? They don't look at me in that point of the conversation. They really are trying to find where it's like the information is over there and it comes in that way.
Yeah.
I love it.
I think that's a little bit the same as when I'm concentrating, if I'm at a gig, that I'll shut my eyes and it's not an emotion thing. It's almost like I'm searching for the lyrics printed on the inside of my eyeballs in case I'm not sure of what's happening next. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, sorry, earballs. That's what I meant. Yeah, or maybe it's just that so you're not distracted. I know that's why you laughed. So I'm not distracted by any other visual stimuli, and I get to be just in my own head for a minute as I
there's got
to
be an explanation. The next verse might be. There's got to be people will have studied this phenomenon and
yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Speaking of phenomenons, what about Shannon Knoll?
Knowlesy.
Yeah. Was that speaking a nice segue?
Yeah, do you know, could I, before we talk about it, speaking of Matthew Robinson, who we caught up with today, who is going to come back specifically to be in our band for a night, I remember being at his house in South Melbourne right around the release of Shannon Knoll's first album.
Okay.
And part of the advertising was to do these like daytime 15-minute kind of biographies about Shannon Knoll. And it was really the voiceover was Shannon Knoll, like, came to prominence through Australian Idol, the first season. And Romo's gone, not since Jimmy Barnes has anyone sounded so much like Jimmy Barnes. Romo is one of the most quotable people I've ever met, because he just is great at distilling something like that. And
he's an actor.
He is
an actor.
Well, he's a writer as well.
A writer. No, wait, that doesn't work.
And so when you said we should talk about Shannon Knoll, I'm like, oh, I've got to tell that little Matt Robinsonism. Hey, I was housemates with him too, once.
Oh, you were too?
Yeah, we lived in Richmond together. It was nice. Although I felt really bad because I lived with Liz, with Matt Robinson, and we got to a stage where, you know,
Have you got your phone in your hand?
Because I got to read the
things you sent me. All right, that's good.
And we would go, Robinson! And eventually got really upset about it because he couldn't work out whether we were telling him off or, like, cause sometimes he would, like, leave the toilet seat up or something like that, and then we would think it was funny. We'd go, Robinson! And he's like, you got to stop doing that. Like, it's picking on me. We felt terrible because we didn't want to. We just thought it was funny.
Oh, little fella.
He would. He was the type of dude that, I would buy ice cream for, you know, because I live with my girlfriend. I would buy ice cream.
And, I'm laughing because I've heard this story.
And, you know, we'd have a little bit of ice cream after dinner, and then, you know, we'd go to get some maybe a couple of days later, and there'd be no ice cream there. But quite soon afterwards, a tub of ice cream would appear to replace the one. And then that ice cream would go, and then it would reappear. And eventually I'd say, you know what, man, you can eat our ice cream. You don't have to replace it. That's right. Because you're the only one who eats it. So there would be maybe 4 or 5 tubs of ice cream would circle through the house, and the only person that ate it was Matthew Robinson. And or it was Tim Tams or something like that. He just had this sweet tooth, and he would have it at, you know, midnight and decide that was what he was going to eat. But he would keep replacing it.
Look at him now. He's so healthy.
He's very healthy. Yeah. Good on him.
I'm sure it's admirable. Whatever. Yeah, both of you. You're very impressive.
So never since Shannon Knoll, not since Jimmy Barnes. Oh, what's this? You Shannon Knolling.
Yeah, I just thought I'd give us...
This album's good.
Oh, this is the best of.
All right, well, the one that this is off.
The best of. I mean, sorry, but there's fucking 18 songs on the best of.
No, they're good songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can sing. He's good.
He's all right.
I think he's good.
Yeah, I think he's all right.
So, Matt, you've sent me some captures. Comments that people have made in response to a rant that Shannon Knoll had on stage.
Yeah.
When somebody in the crowd threw
a teddy,
a can of beer at him and didn't hit him.
Mm.
All right, well, that's good. But he was, of course, understandably not impressed. And so.
Well, we've been in bands a long time. Like, we've had shit happen.
Yeah.
And I've fucking called people dickheads on stage.
You have. It's a very distinctive way that you respond to dickheads.
Yeah, I mean, if someone, you're perfectly within your rights to call someone out for behaving poorly at a gig, like you're just there doing your job, you don't expect to
be hit by a can of beer.
Shouldn't expect to be, abused physically or emotionally. we did an 80s gig at the Elephant and Wheelbarrow, and Jamie Holland was singing with us in the band. And someone threw a shoe. And not even, it wasn't even, I don't think it was even at us.
Was it just a glass slipper?
It was just a dumb, drunken idiot. And in all likelihood, it was probably his mate who's fucking wrestled him, taken off his mate's shoe and just fucking thrown it away. So it just kind of plopped onto the stage in front of us. But
Jamie was in the band. It's a little stage. She's a beautiful girl, and I was really fucking protective of her. So I
did you puff up?
Fuck yeah!
Wow.
Yeah. Which I don't think anything about. I mean, yeah. There have been blissfully very, very few occasions in my performing life where anyone has actively done anything angsty or combative
people
or whatever.
People are mostly good.
Yeah, they are. They are mostly good. And I've done a lot of, like, country... A lot of country gigs.
Sorry, that silence was... definitely a
where you would we'd expect. Like, I mean, I've done
where it can get rough.
DNS
ball type bike, things.
All that sort of stuff.
The bikey things never go bad. They know how to have a good time. Those
they
dudes.
Do know how to have a good time. But, you know, I mean, they've got to like you.
Yeah.
And back in the day when I was doing those things and I had hair down to here, with this little voice, but we're doing AC/DC, so like we play. Yeah. You know, I mean, potentially rough gigs. Anyway. Not very much bad has ever happened. But yeah, absolutely protective. So, and the only reason it even sticks in my mind is because of Jamie's reaction afterwards, which was, oh, Maddie, I actually feel a bit... yeah, she was all, like you were ready to... Like,
oh, that's sweet.
She said, oh no, it's sexy. Yeah, it wasn't just sweet. It was oh, I feel a bit... Anyway, so I'm sure many of us are aware.
Do you have the transcript of Knowlesy's tirade to the perpetrator?
Should I find that? I should find that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Shit. Oh, that's going to be hard to find, isn't it?
I think I watched it once, and basically the gist of it was he used a lot of profanity and... But he, you know, he probably the first minute of him having a crack was quite valid,
and then 100%.
he just kind of went on for too long, and said,
and it got
and said a few vulgar
for
things,
everyone.
Yeah,
and yeah.
So,
I mean, the first thing that comes up if I write Shannon Knoll transcript is Shannon Knoll's F-bomb meltdown is now an hilarious song parody.
Oh, already?
Already?
Right.
Yeah.
Good on him. Oh, the silence of the podcast. I'm just listening to this song.
Sorry,
I love it.
Sorry,
I love this song.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it, dude.
So anyway, easily. He says some stuff.
I kind of figured that everyone would be across it by now because...
Anyway, if you're listening now or watching now, just YouTube it or Facebook it. It'll come up. You'll be able to watch it. And then come back to it because we're going to read, in character, some responses. Would you like to read the first one?
Sure.
Cool. Got there, funny.
Calm the farm, Knowlesy, you dead set ledge. No worries, mate, all good. Settle pedal and lay down your guns and surrender, as good old Barnsey would say. You're the voice, try and understand it. Barnsey be proud as, mate. You can't blame yourself for some dead dick drongo throwing a can at you, mate. Remember what we used to say back in the day down at the counter of the corner shop? We'd be waiting down there, waiting half the day. They'd never ever see us from the top. We'd get pushed around, knocked to the ground. We'd get to our feet and we'd say, you know the rest, China. Love ya. Don't let the cogs flog your log, cobber. If you ever want some backup, bloke, I got your back. Well, guess I'll be seeing you when I'm seeing you. Not if I see you first. Love ya. Stay true, Blue.
That's brilliant. People are funny.
Fucking hope they are.
That's what's good about social media is although we get people's dumb shit, you get everyday people's brilliance as well. That's really funny. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this justice, but Dylan Connell, we need to attribute this.
Oh yeah, good point.
Of genius to
mine
its
was,
creator,
Josh Hannock.
I might point out that this one has 791 reactions. Were these taken off Shannon Knoll's page?
Yep.
Oh, good for him.
I know.
Ah, we should have it.
I wonder if they're still there now. Because this was midnight last night after a bottle of wine.
I hope they are.
Fuck, I laughed. I was lying in bed with a bottle of wine, reading these things, laughing my nuts off and sending them to people with whom I'm in a band who have supported Shannon Knoll at gigs.
Oh, I fully support Shannon Knoll. All right, Dylan Connell says, Bet that's not the first time you got your big cooey when something's been flung at your face, you old mailbox smasher. Haha, just rustling your small Macca's chips, mate. Anyway, was wondering if I could get back that totem tennis set you stole out of me a few years ago. Cheese and kisses is on my ass about giving the old thing a swing if you catch what I'm throwing, wink. Anyway, we'll catch you around, bud. No worries, mate. Take it easy. Uru, bud. Nah, cheers.
Oh, good work, Dylan Connell. I don't know you, but you seem like you'd be fun.
Toby Mitchell says, nah, fair crack of the whip, muscles. Bloody galahs were bang out of order. It's hard because I'm trying to fix the spelling mistakes in my head as we go along.
Yeah.
It's all well and good to play up like a second-hand lawnmower, but when someone could have drunk that full tinny. Nah, just changing your kegs, mate. In all seriousness, we'd love to see you feed him 5 or 6 of the best. Anyway, mate, got a lamb roast on, so I better be on my way. Uru, mate, stay safe. Ta-ta, bye, see ya, bye.
Oh, see ya, bye. See ya, bye. That's such an Aussie thing to do, I love it.
Oh, all right, God. Marcus Holtom.
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 Holtom?
Marcus Holtom.
Ah, oh, that's better. If I do it in Irish voice.
Nalsy, you sticky roo pouch. Bet that's not the first time you almost copped a load of the face. Am I right, Cobber? Hang on, someone's ringing me. There we go. Nah, just pulling the old tight band, mate. Don't get upset. Hey, well, I've got you. The misso's been asking about a VHS copy of Spice World. Nothing gets a go on a bit of Mel B. I've been trying to give her the old scary spice if you catch me drift. Anyways, old mate, don't be a stranger. Hooroo. Hooroo is the go-to cheerio, isn't it?
Oh, God.
Well done, Marcus Holtom.
Oh. Dean Dalziel. Bet that's not the first time you've slept with some private school dickhead's mum and missus. Nah, just pulling top off you can. Anyway, while I gotcha, wouldn't happen to have me Mega Mix...
What? Me Wild Mega Mix 9? I don't even know what that is. Wouldn't happen to have me Wild Mega Mix 9 I lent you last time we got on a bender after your show at Penrith Panthers. The Ball and Jane's going crazy at you. Like Duck Creek cover and now won't blow my whistle without it. Oh, I get it.
Oh, it's a head job gag.
Aren't they all?
Anyway, see you when I see you. Went a little crazier than the horse last night. Much love, kettle's boiling out. Bye, tada, saying I uru. There's so little punctuation in so many.
It's hard. It's hard to know when to breathe. Chris Ball. Chris Ball says, remember those ABC... BBC type shows where people would write in, like Angry from Manchester writes.
Angry from Manchester,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Chris Ball writes, Nullsy, you scallywag. Bet this isn't the first time you split your skills over some frothy projectile spitting past your chin. Nah, just juicing your grapes, mate. Anyways, while I got ya, would you mind returning them navy blue work socks? You slipped off me feet that Christmas barn party back in 2010. Me old trotters, they've been feeling ever so frosty since then. And they look bluer than the socks you snagged. Anyways, brother, no rush. Keep it classy. Hooroo.
Hooroo.
Hooroo. Well done, Chris Ball.
Matt Kirby writes, Nosey, you fucking legend. Who's that beer magnet? I sound like, anyway. Nosey, you fucking legend. Usually I don't hear anyone complain when they got big cans in their face. Nah, I'm just pulling your leg, big fella. Don't worry about those drongos. They're probably Guy Sebastian fans. Anyways, you still got that half pack of Winnie Blues I left with you? My Centrelink hasn't come through yet, and the missus in me whinging that she's fiending like a dart. You know what birds are like when they're up the duff?
Who's that?
That was Matt Kirby.
Oh, Matt Kirby.
He's all right.
It's, do you know what's...
Oh, fuck, there's so many.
I know, they're so good. What I find really interesting about... I don't know anyone with names like this. Like, I don't know a Wade Dirksen.
You know Brendan Smith.
Well, everyone knows a Brendan Smith.
There you go.
Yeah, I know. He's about five Brendan Smiths. Anyway, Wade Dirksen. Bet that's not the first time you threaten to punch some cunt's teeth down it. Hey, Nolsey, you dopey dingo. He's up, Tycho, just sharpening your tip. Anywho. Well, I got you. Do you mind swinging past and dropping off the lawnmower I lent you about a month ago? The fire-breathing dragon's onto me about mowing the lawn. I'm not going to ask why you need it for 4 weeks. That's your business. But I do it back here, old cover. You just let me know. Anyway, champ, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Hooroo. That's it. Says hooroo. You're right about reading the spelling mistakes. It's difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult to correct spelling on the fly. Well done, Wade Dirksen. That was good.
Oh.
The next guy I've got's Roderick Blackery.
Not a real person.
Blackberry. Even that's spelled wrong.
Brandon Smith says, that was in the old China. Not the first time you've had to dodge a swinging projectile, I reckon. Am I right, cop? Nah, keep it in your pants. Just pull the skin off your custard, mate. Hey, Blake, while I got you, could you drop off me Tamagotchi you were looking at back in band camp? I know a bet's a bet, but I didn't expect you to ask for that in a game of dare. The life sentence has a nurturing side, and if I don't give her something to care for soon, she'll want another tin lid. Fuck that, Chief. The other eight are plenty enough. Anyway, cobs, keep it locked and loaded. I'll catch you soon. Uru.
The life sentence.
The life sentence.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, God.
That's... Far out, man. People are fun.
Oh, fuck. Should we do one more each?
Yeah, all right. Here we go. So, Roderick Blackberry. This is... Blackberry spelled... Black, B-E-R-Y. Blackberry? Blackberry? Like, not Blackberry.
Oh.
Blackberry.
It's like he doesn't know how to spell his own name.
Yeah. That's why I said Blackery before. Anyway, Roderick Blackery goes like this. Hey, Nolsey, you gutter-mouth ferret fetcher. You owe me a $100 and a can of three-quarter strength Jim Beam. I love that bad boy. Oh, that's good. I love that bad boy at you. Been nothing but a good bloke offering a fellow Buck Joey a beverage. After that spray of Babisha held back, I felt so bad I punched myself in the head.
No.
Also, while I've got you there, you reckon I can get that $100 and a can of Jean back off you? I'm a bit tired of coin at the moment to spend it all on projectiles at your concert. Anyway, mate, better get back off the old porcelain throne and get back to work before the boss realises I've been bludgeoning for the last 45 minutes. Hooroo, champ. It's hooroo. Everyone's a hooroo.
Pumbaa Dylan Bryant.
I've got to read Lukey Muffler Stevens to you.
All right, fuck it. We'll do one more. Two more each. Right. One more each.
All right.
All right. But it ain't the first time you've been giving some bloke a mouthful, eh? Nah, just routing you gum nuts, you soggy sayo. While I gotcha, was wondering if I'd get me Mrs. Boogie Board back. Look like you had half the contents up your bloody snorkel at Duck Creek, eh, Rooter? Oh, good nosy. That bloke was acting like a bin chicken anyway. Bin chicken.
Far out.
No,
no, hooroo.
No, hooroo. Oh, God help
well,
me.
Well, it's appropriate we finish on this one because it ends with the greatest ending ever. Lukey Muffler Stevens. What I like about Lukey Muffler Stevens is he has three nicknames in the one name. Because clearly his name's Luke, but everyone calls him Lukey. Yep. Except the blokes at footy club just call him Stevens.
Yeah, yeah.
Stevo.
Yeah.
Right? And then who knows where he gets Muffler from, but that's got to be...
Oh, because it's a Lukey Muffler.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There yeah. you go. Far out. Didn't know that, mate. Bet that's not the first time some parrot's pulled your carrot, eh, Nolsey? Yeah, cheeky monkey. Chill, bruds. Just jerking your gherkin. Hey, remember that time I voted for you in the Oz Idol final? Well, I'm going to need my Nokia 3315 back cover. Because the old cheese and kisses doesn't believe I had such a cracking score on the old snake too. So she's slamming me ham to get the old phone back. So I looked at my feet and I screamed, what about me? Don't worry, Cobb. I'm just throwing you some strife on behalf of my future wife. Next time I see you, I'll chuck you a beer. And anywhere you want to go, I'll take you there, babe. You never have to apologise to me, knackers. I'll just see you when you get out of the jungle. You got a lift. Hooroo, hootie guru.
Oh, God.
I love human beings.
Oh,
they
Lord.
They are pretty bloody awesome.
Oh,
Something's got to happen. This has got to be a regular segment. We got to read out people's Facebook comments.
Well,
yeah.
Back in the day when I thought this podcast was going to be more segment orientated, yeah, I had a whole bunch of Craigslist ads for us to read out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we never kind of got to that.
Oh, wow.
So
we should do it.
Yeah. Well, that was, I feel like that was almost our plan when we discussed what was going to happen for the next year of this podcast after the first year.
We've still got a few chapters. I finished it the other day.
Yeah, how'd you go?
It's, sometimes a book is worth reading for just some moments. And you go, well, I'm glad that had enough moments in it.
Huh.
I think this book is incredible, but the last 20 pages, just glorious.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's really challenging. Lots, I mean, the subject matter is hard, but the last bit of it's just
challenging.
Beautiful. It's really good.
Self-help. Whatever. Boo-boo.
Oh. Bit of guru. So I guess we should finish up then now.
All right then.
Yes, but we were going to do segmented things, and maybe we should do some more of that in the future.
Segmented things?
Mm.
What, like a centipede?
What?
They're segmented, aren't they?
No.
Oh.
I mean, they are if you chop them up.
No, what am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Ants?
All things are segmented.
No, but...
No?
Tangerines?
Oh, I like those.
Help me out here.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. So, there's no point in me advertising the Facebook Live thing because that's going to have already happened by the time you see this.
But there might be, another one next week. So, keep a look out on the page or on my page or Matt's page or whatever it is.
Yeah. I felt like you were speaking in a nosy.
Yeah, I was. I'm in the zone now.
Yeah. You're right.
Sorry, but I got a lift.
Oh yeah, he can go now. Where is he coming through on?
Yeah,
sorry, that should have been the end of the segment. I failed.
Fun day.
Good day.
Good day.
Yeah, really looking forward to tonight.
Our Facebook Live.
Mm.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
Yeah.
Good night. And good luck.
Jesus Christ. Who was that?
Murrow? Edward Murrow?
Mm-hmm. Is it ABC?
No, it was an American guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good film.
Incredible film.
Yeah.
George Clooney, director. Makes good films. Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Great movie.
Very good film.
Oh, wow. I don't think I knew he directed that.
What else? All right, we're going to go.
Oh.
Love ya.
Hooroo. Wouldn't want to be ya.
Ah, you sheep shagger.
You mailbox smasher.
Oh, my Lord.
What a best.
Ridiculous world.
Oh, God.
Funny stuff. All right.
I can't laugh. It makes me cough.
I've seen that.
What up, mate?
All right, I'll see you.